Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York City. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Phil Svitek and Deidre Bayer. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi everyone, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we will be breaking down Real Housewives of New York, Season 4, Episode 4, and it was quite an episode, so I can't wait to get into it all. But first, I want to quickly talk about Maria Menounos' new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life. I have it. I gave it to my mom. I gave it to my sister. So with Mother's Day coming up, with graduations, it is the perfect gift. Tips on makeup, fitness, organizing your life, everything. Every girl needs it, and even some guys can learn from it, too. So before we get into the show, though, Phil, I think you had a few words to say.
Yes. Well, first off, for those of you who don't know, all the ways you can listen to us, there's, of course, iTunes. You can listen to every show live on ustream.tv/AfterBuzzTV. For on the go, download the Stitcher app, and you'll see all our shows there. And there, of course, is our website, AfterBuzzTV.com. And you know what, Mari? I'm going to make an official resignation from the Real Housewives of New York. But I do have a replacement for you guys. Jackie, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are
you? Good. How are you, Jackie? Thank you so much for calling in. I am so excited to talk to you in specific. And while Phil, you did a wonderful job subbing in, Jackie, I'm happy to have you here. Because, Jackie, give everyone we'll talk about it more in depth, but tell everyone quickly who you are.
Well, yes, I am very familiar with this reality world. I was a former Project Runway model, for season 4. So I'm very familiar with the whole reality drama scene and how it all works behind the scenes, and I can offer a little insight there. And, of course, I'm familiar with Bravo. So I'm a New Yorker, so, of course, I love The Real Housewives of New York City. It's my favorite. And I have a lot to offer there, I think.
Great. Well, we can't wait to break that down later in our special segment. We'll be talking to you all about your insider info you have from your experience on Project Runway. But first, I want to get your opinions on the drama tonight. So we were watching the show.
Yes.
Sonia and Cindy. So let's just give a recap of what's going on with them. First, they go shopping. They go to, Vivian Tam. Great dresses, by the way.
Beautiful dresses.
And yeah. Sonia, first of all, I just have to say this because you as a New Yorker, Jackie, you probably know a little bit about this, but Sonia is so annoyed that she had to come down to Tribeca the way from the Upper East Side.
Right.
So as a New Yorker, can you explain what the big deal is? Because I am from LA, but I live in New York now. And I'm used to driving around at least 20 minutes everywhere.
Very bare minimum. I'm used to spending at least 2 to 3 hours in my car a day going from point A to point B.
Yeah, and in New York, it is like unheard of. Like, I live in Lower East Side. My boyfriend lives in the Upper West Side. Not that big of a deal to me. When I tell people, they're like, how do you do it? It's like a long distance romance. Jackie, what is that all about?
Well, here's the thing. If you have to take the subway system, that's where it can get tricky. You know, going from uptown to downtown, having to switch trains specifically can be the most frustrating thing. It can actually take over an hour to go from uptown to downtown if you're taking public transportation. But here's my thing with Sonia. She drops the driver boy comment.
Right.
And for me, the biggest luxury is if I get to take a taxi or, better yet, a car. So I would side with her if it weren't for the fact that she had her driver boy taking her downtown.
She wasn't exactly
roughing
it.
That's where she lost my support on the uptown-downtown trek.
Yeah, it's just so funny because, like, in New York, the places are totally different. Like, I'm glad that Cindy's in the show now because she's our new downtown girl. She loves downtown. Right. She reps it. But they have such different characters. Like, all the other girls are so traditionally Upper East Side except for maybe Kelly. But, like, it's just so funny because they're, like 20 minutes apart. And it just, it's two different worlds.
Totally.
Right.
I mean,
it really is. And, you know, for me, I can totally understand, yes, even being in the car, jolting back and forth with all the red lights, it can give you a headache. But still, if you're able to just sit in the car and relax, you don't have to juggle all your bags and jump from one subway to the other, just sit back and enjoy the ride, I say.
And she was going to a really nice dress shop, and she was going to have lunch in a fancy schmancy restaurant. I mean,
let's... But she didn't have lunch at Cipriani because right. Cindy chipped her tooth. So
right.
Was she right to be so mad about not having lunch at the Cipriani?
You
personally,
take this
I would have just went myself.
I know.
Every woman, independent woman, should be able to go sit and have lunch by herself, especially in New York City, because I think there's nothing better than people watching in New York City. But I can understand lunch is an event, and I would say, why wouldn't Cindy have just called her, or nowadays with texting, she could have texted her on the way to let her know the situation.
You don't just arrive there and say, hey, peekaboo, my teeth are chipped, and I guess our plans are going to be changing, especially if Sonia was really looking forward to having, like, you know, girl day shopping and lunch and whatnot. I think definitely a courtesy phone call or a text message at the very least would have been in order.
So then maybe that's what leads up to, maybe that's why Sonia's a little bit pissed, because, so we'll talk about this more in depth later, but so Sonia tells Cindy her plans. Basically, she's going to throw a toaster oven party, which I guess is the, like, easy bake oven party of the 21st century. I don't know.
I suppose, yeah.
But I found that interesting, too.
I know. It's so ridiculous. I love these women. But she's going to throw a toaster oven party, and she wants to invite both Ramona and Kelly without telling either one of them because she thinks that she can reunite them, bring them together. And obviously, as we find out, if one of them were to find out, they probably wouldn't go. So she doesn't tell either of them, but she confides this in Cindy. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, but that was one thing they talked about in the shopping trip. And then the other issue between Sonia and Cindy is Cindy talks about her party in Quag. So
right.
I don't know, Jackie, if you've been to the Hamptons. I've been there, and I've been in Quag. I stayed with a friend in Quag.
Mm-hmm.
And the same type of response is with Tribeca. Quag. I don't do Quag. I don't go there. So
right.
She doesn't go to Cindy. She's like, is insulting Cindy's party all at Luann's, when this is the night that they're at Luann's, she's
yes.
talking about this. And not
right.
only does she insult the location, she's saying, oh, I didn't get the email. I didn't get the email invitation. Then it later comes out that's because she deletes all completely bare emails.
Yeah, and sends right. them to the junk file.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then Cindy is like, not only did she insult my party, she insulted my business. So what
right.
do you guys think is going on between Sonia and Cindy? And what do you think of Sonia's reaction about the party? Because Luann was like, okay, I get it. Quag, it's far. It's, what did she say? It's a little bit lower class. But you don't tell someone that. And I'm totally on Luann's side. What do you guys think?
You certainly do not insult somebody, let alone one of your supposed really good friends, when they're doing something nice and gracious, like throwing a party. There's plenty of air. I mean, I've never been out to the Hamptons. I'm from LA, but there's plenty of areas in LA that take me quite a while to get to, kind of like I said before. But for a friend, you do what you have to do. I mean, I think that's the bottom line, and you certainly do not go from the route of insulting them.
Right. Well, I can vouch, though, for women like Sonia. I know many of them. I spent summers in the Hamptons growing up, and I'm very familiar with this type of woman, where if you're a Southampton woman, you definitely have that snobbery about you, where Quag isn't acceptable. And it's almost laughable, really, because it's the same thing as saying Tribeca's not acceptable. We're more modern women nowadays, but I've definitely seen it, so I know it's out there, and she holds true to that type of person. But here's what I think. If Sonia says it outright, and Luann says it on camera, she knows she's being filmed. She knows that Cindy's going to see that. I kind of think maybe I give Sonia a little credit for being upfront about it, because at least she says it right to Cindy's face. You know that when Luann says that to the camera, that she knows Cindy's going to eventually see that. So I kind of have to give Sonia a little credit there for at least being up front.
See, and that's what I love about Sonia. She's a bitch, but she owns up to it. Mm-hmm. And
right.
She doesn't pretend. There's no bullshit with her. So even though some of the things I think she does is questionable, I love her for doing those things, you know?
Exactly. You know, I find myself mad at myself for not hating Sonia, but I don't. I don't hate her.
I think it's because at the end of the day, people respect honesty.
Yeah.
And
right.
And if you're not putting on a facade, and if you're just being yourself, regardless of whether people are going to accept it or reject it, I think with Sonia, you know what you're getting. Whereas I feel like sometimes with the Countess, she's so consumed with being, oh, darling, and blah, 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 blah. With Sonia, you know exactly what you're about to get to. She's not down with Quag, right. And she makes no mistakes about it. So
let's talk.
And I love that. I actually do love that about her. I'm not saying I would maybe want to be friends with her, but I respect her for that.
So let's talk about another moment where I came to respect Sonia. Kelly and Sonia go horseback riding, and she hasn't been horseback riding in a while, and Kelly's freaking out. She falls off the horse, and she gets right back up again, like the saying.
Right.
Yet Bravo has to put in, I was commenting to Deidre, it was like this dramatic music. It was like, dun, 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 like
yeah.
So dramatic. She didn't get hurt. She didn't cry. Wasn't a big deal. So I have to say I respected her actions there.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I like both of their outfits. I venture to guess that some of that was from Ralph Lauren, which is one of the most beautiful stores in the Hamptons. Of course, we're always looking at them for fashion, too. But I have to say, is it bad that I laughed when she fell off the horse? It was just an automatic reaction in me. And seeing that she was okay, she really did power right through it, and she even made fun of herself, which I think was great.
And that's right. Why you gotta love her.
Exactly. I think it's acceptable socially to laugh at somebody when there's a physical accident, when they're able to laugh about it too and that they weren't seriously hurt. I think another
right.
element that added to the humorousness of it all was the fact that she was, like Kelly kept saying, you're riding so recklessly, you're riding recklessly. And Sonia thought she was owning this horse. And
right.
then sooner or later, she, like, topples off. But, you know, thankfully, she wasn't hurt.
But then Sonia's quote was, she kept saying, you're reckless, and I'm thinking, you're brainless. And I love that. I love that. And we saw a brainless moment there. So later
right.
on in the show, Kelly and – okay, so basically, Cindy tells Kelly, she tips her off about this toaster oven party. So
mm-hmm.
she says, you know what? Just want to tell you, Sonia's planning this party between Ramona and you, and she didn't want to tell you guys, don't say I said anything. Of course, don't say
right,
I said anything.
Yeah.
But what do you expect? What does she do
right.
next day? Turns right around, and Kelly tells Sonia point blank, I know, I'm not going. And when Sonia tries to convince her, she breaks out into sand angels, which I think that Sonia's analysis of this being her way of just avoiding things and being like, I'm not listening, la, 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 I'm doing sand angels.
Yes.
What did you guys think of that? Is she crazy?
I think it's her coping mechanism, if anything. Like Sonia
right.
said, it's her living in the white noise and trying to avoid this conflict, this long-going conflict that she's had with Ramona. And, you know, I adore Kelly. She's definitely one of my favorite housewives on the show because I think she's hysterical. And her fashion, like you said before, Jackie, is amazing.
Right.
I wish she would be a little more mature and act a little more her age, because I'm half
right.
her age, and if I have a conflict with a friend, I know that I'm supposed to address it. And
right.
her just living
in
La La Land is, you know.
Right. She's actually using good judgment in this situation to avoid Ramona, but she ruins it by sort of those silly actions where you don't take her seriously. But I just wish she wouldn't ruin it, because she's actually making a good decision here
yeah.
to avoid the confrontation. And with Cindy, all I have to say is, did you not learn anything in high school? I mean, the number one thing when you say don't tell anybody
right.
is you know at least one person is going to find out, and we know that one person here is going to be Sonia.
Always.
Do you think it was right for Sonia to not tell them? And do you think it was right for Cindy to then go tell her?
Well, I think Sonia was trying to do something good here. So, you know, I just, as we said, believe in honesty. So I think Sonia's, while her intentions were good, it just wasn't, it wasn't a recipe for anything good to happen, no matter what. Same with Cindy. I think her intentions were also good, but she's creating now drama for herself by intertwining herself in this secretive chain of actions here. So the intentions were good on both ends, but it just wasn't the right way to go about it.
I 100% agree. It was, everybody was trying to do the right thing. And unfortunately, sometimes what you think is the right thing sort of backfires. And like you said before, it's kind of like high school. It's girls doing catty things behind others' backs because they don't want to step on anyone's toes. But in reality, everybody sort of gets a little more upset in the end when you handle it that way.
I have to say, while I think Sonia had good intentions, knowing Sonia, it was her own intentions. And she's always thinking about herself and how to put herself in the middle of the situation and be the star of the situation. So she sees, oh, there's this big drama between Ramona and Kelly. How do I inject myself into it, and how do I become the star of it? And that's by, oh, well, I'm going to take on the role of reuniting these women. I'm going to throw the party. Right. I'm going to be the person that puts them back together. I'm going to do it. And that's personally what I think was her motivation behind that.
Completely.
Yes, absolutely.
So, okay, so Sonia was one big instigator in this episode, but who was the other? I'm sure everyone knows Ramona.
Oh my Ramona. Gosh.
Ramona. Pinot Polar Ramona.
Ugh.
I love that. Luann definitely comes out with, they all have some good one-liners, but Pinot Polar.
Luann has such good one-liners this season. When she was saying that Alex has found her voice and now she needs to shut it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
she just has, she has great one-liners this season, and I totally agree. So I'm just going to keep calling her Pinot Polar Ramona.
I mean, what better way to describe her? Her behavior at that party, it literally went from 0 to 360 with the interjection of some Pinot.
Yeah, so first let's talk about Pinot Polar Ramona a couple nights before. Four at Luann's. So, okay, we'll talk about whether we agree with this in the first place or not, but Luann lives in the Hamptons with her two teenage children, but she spends a couple nights a week in New York with her boyfriend, with her French boyfriend, while her children are in the Hamptons, and then her children basically go to New York on the weekends because they want to, which there is a disconnect. That doesn't really make sense. But Ramona being Ramona, being aggressive, like, there was any context. It wasn't like they were talking about it. And then she was like, oh, why do you do that? Ramona just like went ahead and brought up on her own. She was like, so Luann, I have to ask you. So you were in New York during the week. Does that mean, what did she say? She said, so you're a weekend mom?
You're a weekend mom.
Yeah, you only
right.
see your kids on Saturday and Sunday.
So what did you think of her comment?
I didn't like the delivery of it. You know, first of all, what someone does with their own kids is their own business. I really don't think that you can come from any place of just like any justified place of being able to comment on something like that. But if you do want to ask your friend a question like that, please do it in a more tasteful manner. Don't just come out and, you know, be typical. What was it? Pinot Polar Ramona. So you're with your boyfriend and do you want to see your kids on the weekends? It's like, no, how about you more gracefully ask the question and deliver it in a more appropriate manner?
I have to say that was a dead on Ramona impression. She just talks so fast and so crazed and her eyes and the voice. And it's like, ah.
Here's an example where honesty, it's not honesty as much as unnecessary confrontation. If Luann asked her opinion and she came out with her opinion and she seemed genuinely concerned, then I would say it's okay. But you're right. The delivery was awful. It was totally contrived to create confrontation. I don't think she was meaning to even really help in that situation as much as just call her out in front of everyone else.
And
I don't
and
think that's right. And
you
don't really know how a woman is with her children unless you're in the situation. So it does sound a little off when you hear it, but I do believe it's the quality, not the quantity of time you spend with your children anyway. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, because she wasn't seeking her advice, to just come out with that just was uncalled for.
Yeah, Ramona and her unsolicited advice.
Yeah, I feel like
thanks
she's the word to describe her, besides Pinot Polar, is inappropriate. She's just always inappropriate. While I personally think that that is a little bit questionable of Luann's parenting skills to keep her kids in the Hamptons while she's in New York because they're divorced, so it's not like there's even one parent staying at home. They're basically parentless then. Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's questionable.
She said they're, with, they're a nanny, with a nanny, but who knows what goes on with that.
But once again, Ramona was too aggressive. And the funny thing is, it's like she says these comments and she's mean and she doesn't even realize it because then just the next day, she's seeking Luann's advice. And Luann's like, didn't you just insult me last night? Like, does that just go right by you, you know?
Yeah, she had some Pinot, so no, she forgets about it.
So, okay, so let's talk about what Ramona was seeking her advice on. So let's just do a little recap for our viewers. Episode one, Ramona was at a wedding in the Hamptons with Cindy's brother, who is dating... Cindy's brother is dating Ramona's close guy friend's ex-wife. And he has since passed, Jeff. Jeff has since passed. His ex-wife is now dating Cindy's brother. Cindy's brother, at the wedding, goes up to Ramona. He's smoking a cigar, and he says, I'm smoking Jeff's cigars. And Ramona seems to take that as, ugh, you're throwing it in my face. This is so disrespectful. Like, he has passed. This is so disrespectful. And she is talking about this. And who walks up behind her and overhears but Cindy's brother and Jeff's ex-wife. So she is feeling conflicted because she is upset about it, but she wants to kind of apologize for them overhearing and her sticking her foot in her mouth.
Right.
So what do you think of that
again
situation?
An approach problem. Yeah. An approach and a delivery problem. If you want to clear the air, first of all, let's consider the setting. We're at a beautiful birthday party out in the countryside, and we're horseback riding, and it's kumbaya. Everybody is in a harmonious mood. Do not attempt to ameliorate the situation in a nice setting like that. Number two, if the person that you're trying to make amends with does not seem receptive, like Howard didn't, let it go. Just let it go. He was like, now's not the time. I don't want to speak to you. I don't know how many more ways he could have said it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but she's got the Pinot in her hands. So, you know, that that might be what's egging her on, because it seemed like a stereotypical drunk girl move to be like, no, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. And Ramona wasn't taking no for an answer. So.
And
my issue with her is not even that so much that she did it at the party, because sometimes actually you can have a good side conversation at a party. But you're right. The approach was terrible. He didn't give her any sign of wanting to speak back with her about it at that point. But my thing is that she was so upset, and within a few seconds, she was talking about dip and fine. So how upset was she really?
That's why it's Pinot polar. She goes from one end to the other so fast. But the thing is, not only did she piss off Cindy's brother, she pissed off Cindy, because Cindy comes right up. She goes, absolutely not. Not here. But you know what Cindy's advice? Her advice was right. She said, bring it up in a more appropriate setting. She didn't say, bury the hatchet. She said, bring it up in a more appropriate setting.
Sure. And I think that that's 100% right on Cindy's part. But like you said, Jackie, they go to 0 to 60. I mean, it's conflict, and don't you dare bring this up at my party, too. Let's talk about the dip and the flies we're getting in it or whatever. It's just bizarre to me.
The thing is, what do you think of the... It also happened off camera, so we don't know. But what do you think of Howard saying, oh, these are Jeff's cigars? Like,
we don't know how he did it. He could have taken Ramona aside and been like, oh, I know you were really close with Jeff. I want to let you know this is his cigar. It's like he's with us here. We don't know how it all went down. But the way that Ramona was conveying the way that it went down was that analogy that she used about, oh, it's like my father died and then his new girlfriend is wearing a piece of my mom's jewelry. And then the lady goes, oh, this is your mom's jewelry. You know, I don't know Howard, but from what little I've seen of him on the show, I mean,
he doesn't seem to do something like that. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I think we'd have to consult the cameramen who were filming that scene, because we don't know how that happened.
The cameras always seem to like not catch these moments,
the pivotal moments,
so that they can be misconstrued. And Jackie, I want to talk to you about that when we do the special segment and talk about reality shows. But
yes, and I was actually just going to say that my experience comes in handy here. So that's, to me, if you want to talk about it now or later, is fine. But I think that was kind of a camera trick there.
Explain that a little bit more.
That they intentionally didn't show that part?
Yeah, because I think if he wasn't in the wrong, there's no reason not to show it. we are all thinking Ramona's pretty much wrong here. And that's just smart camera work because they're not showing it. And so it's easy to think that.
So you think they actually caught it on camera? And they're just, do you think they actually caught it on camera but are intentionally not showing that moment?
Let me just say, I can't call them out on it because it's a different show than the type of show I worked on. But I'll say that when you are in those situations, the cameras are everywhere. So I find it hard to believe that it wasn't caught on camera. But I can't necessarily call out their intentions. But if I can make a guess, that I would say it was caught on camera.
I would, too. If it was an interaction involving Ramona, I guarantee you there's at least one or two dedicated cameramen to focus just on her.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
If I was a betting woman, that's what I would say too. But
right.
Guess we'll never know.
And then also, Ramona, not once but twice at this party, does she start to try to talk to people and they literally don't let her get a word in edgewise, which if I were in a fight with Ramona, I probably wouldn't either. But not only with Cindy's brother, but with Kelly, she tries to bury the hatchet. She walks up to Kelly and Kelly... even more is not even having it. She goes into white noise mode, and she cuts her off at every moment. It's not even snowing. Yeah, not even Sand Angel. I'm a teddy. Don't. I don't. I really don't. Don't. That's all I heard. It's her white noise.
Yeah, it was just that little monosyllabic, like, no, I'm with my daughter. You know, I mean, I think, again, I feel like a broken record here, but I feel like, again, it all goes back to Ramona's approach. Kelly had just gotten off, what was it, a quad with her daughter. You know, if you want to approach Kelly about an issue, first, please go up to her when she's not with her, what, 9-year-old?
Yeah.
And number two, no, pull her aside when she's at the dip table. Don't, whatever, I can't do.
The only thing I think is Kelly... ever going to let Ramona talk to her? Like, I'd like to think that it was just this setting and that's why she didn't want her to talk. But I have a feeling if Ramona even tried in a more appropriate setting, in the most appropriate of settings, Kelly would brush her off. That's all she's been doing all season. She's been avoiding. With the email at the when Ramona got the award, avoiding. With the Sand Angels, avoiding. So I have a feeling no matter how Ramona brings it up, Kelly's going to avoid it.
Right. I would have liked to have seen Kelly at least say what she said to Sonia, which is there's not enough super glue to fix the situation. And, you know, that's, she should directly say that to Ramona.
Or she should say what she said to, she said it to Sonia or Cindy or someone, but she said basically either you're friends with someone or you're not and you let it be.
Yeah, like, you amicably, right.
you're polite.
Yes.
But you let it be, you know?
Right.
And that's fine.
She's right. After 3 years of knowing somebody, you know if you want to be friends with them or not.
Please, after a couple months, you might have a good indication. You know, they obviously have to work together.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it'll take the work of one of the housewives to sort of maybe form like an informal intervention.
And of Sonia.
I'm sure Sonia would be an ideal candidate for that. And, you know, just plant them in the same room at the same time and have a nice, mature, adult conversation about the conflict. I mean, maybe if Kelly didn't have a runaway escape sort of a plan, she'd be more amenable to... talking about it. Because, you know, with this situation, she was with her daughter, and I understand that. She was at a party. But if they were just in a room, the two of them, maybe we'd be surprised by Kelly.
Well, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but I saw a preview that she's actually going to be having lunch with her.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in the previews, but there could be a reconciliation. I'm doubtful, but there could be. There could be.
I mean,
having lunch together means nothing. Doesn't mean it's going to go well.
Yeah.
I would hate for it to be Jill and Bethany part two. Like, just two women who really couldn't find a way to get along. And
to the point where one has to leave the show.
Exactly, right?
And
you go from being friendly, not like best friends, but friendly, to just being total strangers to one another. I think that there's no real embedded issue there. So why not just be cordial and civil with one another?
Yeah, so I want to get to the news and gossip, and especially Jackie, I want to talk to you about your Project Runway experience. But before we do that, let's go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back.
Yay! Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
29.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
Okay, so, let's go to news and gossip first before we start talking.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Okay, so first, Kelly had her 43rd birthday party this weekend at Tao in Vegas. Typical Kelly, shows off the legs, wears the short mini skirt, but she had a fun time partying in Vegas. Is that appropriate for a 43-year-old with two children?
You know what? I think if you do it in a dignified manner and you're not, like, dancing topless on top of tables and pouring back shots, then sure. I mean, knowing Kelly, who knows how she behaved, but let's hope that she had a good time, a nice civilized time.
So next up, I wanted to talk about Bethany Frankel, an old housewife, but I had to say it because she has parlayed her drink and reality show empire into $120 million.
Can you believe that?
I know. She sold her Skinny Girl cocktail to actually the Fortune brand's Beam Global. They're the makers of Jim Beam Bourbon. So now they have bought Skinny Girl margaritas. I don't know if you guys have tried it, by the way. I've tried it. They're fantastic.
I think they are a 10.
I know.
They are fantastic for the girl who wants to have a drink but not pack on the calories. So,
she not only has, she stays fit, but she's making $120 million to boot.
I know. She's well on her way to being the next Jessica Simpson with that massive empire, right?
I know. Seriously. I don't know what's next for her, but we got to watch because she is making money.
Yes, totally.
And then finally, of course, everyone got in on the royal wedding. Of course, also AfterBuzz, we had a great after show here Friday night. But Countess Luann de Lesseps, you know, that's why she's a countess. She married into royalty. So she was passing on some tips on how to bag your own royal. And she said one of the most important things to do is go to Europe, which... I mean, if you're going to meet a royal, you probably should go to Europe.
Right.
But of course, so fly to Europe. And then anyone who wants to marry into royalty, they need to be knowledgeable and they need to be quick because those are qualities men from other countries and apparently royal men look for in women.
You think that that's what she was doing when she met her husband?
Yeah, I don't think any of that matters. It's just looks.
I mean, it could be. I mean, she is quick on her feet and she's very attractive, so that might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
But thanks for the tip. Next time I'm in Europe, I'll go try that, I suppose.
And she said, a la Kate Middleton, it's important to carry yourself like royalty, which she does on this show kind of because she always is like, I mean, her song was
Money can't buy you class. Yeah.
So apparently those are her tips for bagging a royal. So that's your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for Tuesday, May 2nd for The Real Housewives Season 4. But now, okay, Jackie, tell us everything. Tell us about Project Runway, your experience, and your insider info.
Well, it certainly was an experience, I will tell you that. The cameras barely captured or showcased what you go through. What is a one-hour show is hours and hours and hours of filming. So it's kind of interesting. You really do lose yourself in this world of reality TV. I don't want to say anything fake. I think situations are certainly created, they know what will happen if they create certain situations, but the emotions are real, which is what's crazy. You think you can control yourself, but you lose yourself in this world. So it's a very interesting experience for
me. And that's what I wanted to ask you about, because so often on our AfterBuzz After shows, we talk about whether or not some of the drama we're seeing was at the hand of the producers. And on Real World Vegas, our after show, the phrase is dick in the soup. DJ Jesse Janity, who hosts Real World Vegas with me, is laughing in the booth because that's what producers do when they're creating the drama for the show. They put their dick in the soup. So did that happen with Project Runway? Does that happen?
Well, yes. It was very interesting that they things would happen in the workroom, and then the judges would know about them when we hit the stage. And so the judges magically knew how to really push everybody's buttons once you hit that stage. And when you're standing there for hours sweating under the lights, you really do start to just lose all control. You lose all sense of what you're what you know you should be acting like, and you get caught up in this world.
So what happens in the workroom if there's like a big fight between designers? The judges, they tell the judges about it before they go on to the elimination round?
Well, I wasn't present for them telling the judges, but I would assume that it's something must happen for the judges to be so well aware of what went on behind the scenes in the workroom, the hours leading up to the shows. So.
And then I wanted to ask you about something else, because actually a friend of mine in her workplace, they are filming a reality show pilot, and they had her sign a series of contracts, and one of them said that the producers have the right to take anything that you say and take it out of context or even misconstrue it, and you have to okay that. Obviously, that's a liability issue. Did something like that happen with you? Like, are there those contracts, or does that happen?
I did have to sign a contract. And it's funny because you want to be on TV, and you're willing to basically sign your life away. And I think that's kind of what I have, my sum of the story is, you know what you're signing up for. I don't regret anything. I think when you sign up for a reality show, you're reading a contract, you know exactly what you're putting yourself into. Nonetheless, it's still surprising when it hits and you do get caught up in the drama.
So what do those contracts typically say? What did yours say?
My biggest focus was the fact that I could be sued for $1 million.
Wow.
And that really scared me as a young teenager.
You could be sued
and
if you talked about it, or why?
I'm sorry?
Why you could be sued for what? For talking about the show or leaking information or what?
Right. I was not talking to anybody about that show until it aired. I went into a cocoon because I was so afraid I was going to, you know, lose all of my money.
Wow.
But also, I think the other interesting portion of it for the models was that you're constantly changing on camera, and you signed up knowing that you might get caught in that scene. So basically, I was really signing up to bear all.
Was there anything that you would have done differently with your experience on Project Runway?
No, I don't believe in looking back. I only believe in looking forward. And I think it's been one of the best experiences in my career. And I can't say I loved every minute of it, but I wouldn't take back a minute of it. I think everything happens for a reason. And I knew what I was signing up for. And it still created some of the best relationships that I have to date.
Well, Jackie, I have to say we are so excited to have you here as a host at AfterBuzz, because all your insider info will definitely help us when we're breaking down these shows, because
you can
give us that scoop and try to, you know, tell our viewers a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes. So thank you for giving us a little input into that, and I can't wait to hear more of your analysis as things come down with this show.
Yes, I'm happy to be part of AfterBuzz. I love it, and I am happy to share all the scoop I can give.
Yay!
And so let's get into the previews for next week and what we're expecting is going to happen.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh, spooky.
Right? Halloween music.
Okay, so Deidre and I were talking about, we personally think the biggest thing is Jill's return.
Her big return.
Because we were shocked, because she had just been saying to me, you know, isn't it a little weird that during filming, she took 2 weeks of filming off to go to Australia? Is she avoiding the drama? What's going on?
And I want to know how she got by that with her contract. I assume that Bravo says to you, we're going to need you, you know, 5 days a week from X to X. You can't just conveniently plan your Australian getaway when you know you're contractually obligated to be filming scenes for the show. So,
yeah, Jackie, any insight on that?
Suspicious.
You think it's suspicious?
Absolutely. I'm curious to see this next episode, and I think all eyes will be on Jill.
I definitely think all eyes will be on her. I'm just wondering, like, what you said I thought was interesting. You said that, does she want off the show?
I don't know. She's one of the veterans. She's definitely been on the show for quite a few seasons now, and we've seen her go through definitely her fair share of the ups and the downs, especially with the tumultuous relationship that she has with Bethany. You know, her daughter, I think, might have gone off to college, and she and her husband are getting a little older now. Maybe they just want to be themselves away from the camera. She seems to absorb the spotlight more than most people, I would say, and enjoy it. But who knows? I think that this Australian convenient getaway might be something more than what we think.
I totally agree. And what we see when Jill does return is she tries to extend the olive branch to Alex. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, Jill and conflict don't really mix that well, so.
Alex and conflict don't mix well, but I love watching it.
Yes.
Alex, there was not enough Alex this episode.
There really wasn't.
Because we were just talking about how I don't love Alex. She gets on my nerves, but I love having her in the show, and she was barely on it this episode.
Yeah, and my biggest complaint.
And I love having Jill there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope she's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint, though, is more Simon.
I knew you were going to say that. More Simon.
We need more Simon.
Ambiguously gay Real Housewife Simon.
I need the red snakeskin pants. I need the single. I love that song, by the way. I'm real.
Yeah, maybe he's busy with his music career. I don't know.
Planning his world tour.
So that was one thing. Also, Ramona invites the girls to a party. They think it's just a party. It's really for Mary-Kate Jewelers, so she invites them under false pretenses.
Yeah, I think Luann showed up at the party. This is what just from I gathered from the quick little brief scene that we saw. Luann goes over to the party to have fun and to have a drink and whatnot, but she winds up being like subjected to Ramona's like sale tactics. I think Ramona's trying to push some jewelry on her, which is sort of inappropriate. If you're going to do that, please let people know.
Inappropriate Ramona.
Yes, thank you. Let's just add it to the list of things that we've compiled tonight.
Yeah. And then Jackie, what were you saying? What are your predictions for next week?
Well, I predict, well, Cindy seems to be involved. Let's not forget about Cindy in a few confrontations with Sonia and Ramona. So I think Cindy's going to actually make sort of her name next week, too.
Which I'm glad to see, because sometimes when they introduce new Real Housewives, was it on New York, actually, that last season they introduced someone and she didn't make the cut? She wasn't dramatic enough, so they cut her out of it.
Right, the party planner, I think. What was her name?
Yeah. See, she wasn't even that memorable.
Exactly.
So
right,
I'm happy to see that Cindy is dramatic enough to have staying power, because I like her.
I like her, too. I think she's dramatic, but not in a Ramona sort of a way. She's a lot more subdued.
You're doing
approach.
That? It's like Ramona's like a dog foaming at the mouth.
I mean, I don't want to compare Ramona to a dog, but when she can be aggressive, it's literally, it's in your face.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, I can't wait for next week's episode and to break it down with both of you guys.
Yes.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.